Well, welcome to the podcast, Nipa Basu.
Thank you, Alan.
It's good to have you. And for those who aren't familiar with your background or what you're doing at GHD, could you sort of enlighten us and just give us a thumbnail sketch?
Sure. So I'm part of GHD Digital. My group is called Digital Intelligence. I lead this group globally, and this group deals with all things data, starting from data strategy, then data collection, data management, then drawing actionable insight from data using either data science or spatial sciences, location intelligence. This part also includes artificial intelligence and Gen AI. And then lastly, you know, I said actionable insight. So how do our clients utilize that insight to take actions? So some representation of the results through dynamic real-time dashboards are part of our charter.
And before GHD, you were at Dun & Bradstreet, I understand?
Yeah, I actually spent a lifetime there. You know, I was there for 20 years. Started as a hands-on predictive modeler. I think looking back, it looks like a data science role, but in those days, we didn't call it data science.
No, no.
Yeah.
What did you call it back then?
In those days, I think my role was called statistician, possibly.
Yeah.
I have a PhD in economics, but I was doing applications using most of the statistical techniques and econometrics. And then, you know, I started leading teams, small teams. And then the last 4 years, I had a team of about 100 people. By that time, we were calling it data science team. And my role was that of the chief analytics officer. And Dun & Bradstreet is a data company. So there was a much larger data team. My role was to build the analytics solutions using that data.
It must be really interesting to work for GHD, which comes from a professional services vantage point. And I understand that they only recently started really offering these this digital intelligence service that is a part of it now. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, it's I am completing about 5 years in GHD, and GHD is in this digital part of the business for like 5.5 to 6 years. So it's relatively new. But that doesn't mean everything about it is new. You know, there was a GIS or Geographic Information Systems business already existing in GHD that was shifted into digital. There was a data management component that was shifted into digital. The part that is really brand new is the data science component, data science, artificial intelligence. These things were initiated like 5-6 years ago.
And how would you characterize GHD's history and where its client base is? Can you tell us what kinds of customers GHD has?
Yeah, that was the most interesting part. You know, GHD hired me 5 years ago, given my experience in Dun & Bradstreet, where my client base was primarily financial services. And we were doing fairly advanced data science analytics projects there. When I came to GHD, I realized I had a lot to learn on one hand. I had a lot to learn in terms of domain knowledge, you know. The industries are so different. So though my role is global, let's talk about North America first. In a GHD's client base is we do environmental work. There's a very large part that does environmental cleanups. Then there is ESG, that also part of environmental. Then environmental health and safety kind of closely related to ESG, and everybody right now is interested in ESG. Then we are pretty strong in the water market. So supporting clients in a very different area. And all these things that I'm talking about, environmental cleanups, water-related things, there's also properties and building, there's transportation sector. All of these things have an underlying doing good for the society type things. We, of course, we generate profit from all this work. We are helping our clients to clean up the environment so that they can be compliant with all the rules and regulations. But at the same time, it does good for the society. I think that has been one of the really important things for me in last 5 years. I'm kind of towards the end of my professional career, and getting this opportunity to do something good and to work on problems that the whole world is trying to solve is really been a great experience.
It's super that you've managed to have that focus at the company, and exciting that there's so much going on in those areas. And the data challenges must be huge. When you talk about how to make an impact in the ESG space, for example, and all the fragmentation that you have to deal with, the data is never as good as you want it to be, but it's almost impossible sometimes to share it, considering the condition it starts in. How do you deal with how do clients deal with this situation, and how would you rank most of them on a data maturity curve from that perspective?
That's the story, and I think I started to talk about it, but didn't really answer it in your previous question. When I was supporting financial services, they were very much data ready. So as a consulting company to banks and insurance companies, I had to prove that my team was building better predictive models compared to my competition, right? That was the game. Here,
These are people who are familiar with all sorts of models to begin with.
right. Here, it's very different. The AEC industry is, the industry as a whole is sort of behind on their digitalization journey. So their purpose is also somewhat different. Very often, I'm not proving that I'm doing better than my competition. I'm still convincing them why they should go on this journey. They are very strong on the engineering aspects of it, right? These engineers know how to do their work. They have tremendous domain knowledge. What they don't know is some of those work can be done differently, better, in a more efficient and less expensive way with the use of data analytics. And let's say, theoretically, we convince a client of that, and do that, we do that working with our own engineers. Then comes this question: do we have the data? Do we have the data to do the analytics? I have been in conversations where in the same conversation we started talking about Gen AI and ended up realizing that they're still collecting data with pen and paper. So that's a big part of it, so that's why it's part of the data analytics is part of the digital group, because first that digitization of data needs to happen, But then it opens up once they realize that data doesn't mean rows and columns in an Excel spreadsheet. Data could be PDF document. Data could be voice recording. Data could be video. And that's how big data is generated when you apply natural language processing to it. Then the enthusiasm grows. Then there are other issues. Sometimes the data actually is there, but the data is in silos. They are in different systems. The systems don't talk to each other. And there is no one really in the company to who really understands that if you combine them all and create something like a data lake, a data warehouse, and then work on it, how much business benefit they will get from it. So all my clients, as I said in my previous role, I was the chief analytics officer. So I have many of my friends in the CDO roles in different companies. I know people, chief data officer roles. I think most of them are struggling with that. They, of course, see the value of AI, but to apply AI, it's quite possible that the weakest link in the system might end up being their data. So the data readiness is a very important thing. In my client base, the maturity is not very high. A lot of work will have to go into it. I'll say most of them have the data, but getting it in one place and doing the change management that all the senior leadership agrees that that should be done, that takes some time.
Understandably, but at the same time, it seems like it could be an opportunity to really build up a foundation that works properly once it is constructed. You've got perhaps you don't have to fight a legacy environment, for example, that you could try and help a client build things a new way if.
Absolutely.
And have you had the opportunity to do that at all?
Oh yeah. It's 5 years, and that was my primary job, right? To build this function up. So we are doing lot of projects, and they're in different places. GHD is very strong in the environmental area. So many of our projects start with an environmental project. That's where we have connections, we have our contacts. So one of the areas where we have done a lot of work is meeting compliance requirements about greenhouse gas emission. There were quite a few of our clients who were struggling with it. And of course, there's an engineering aspect of it, but there's also the data aspect of it. They were struggling for different reasons. One, the regulations are quite complex. The project managers who are trying to meet those regulations often didn't understand them. So we played a role, we call it deconstruction of permits. What do they have permission to do and what do they don't have permissions to do? We used natural language processing to create scenarios where they would know when they're meeting their compliance requirements. Then came this get all the data together part, because if we are talking about a plant manager or his supervisor who's responsible for many, many plants, they needed a way to monitor what's happening, how are the emissions going? And they needed to monitor it in real time using a system where, if needed, they could intervene. So that's one type of project we have done. I was telling you about the water sector. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit. So in the United States, some large and primarily older cities still have lead pipeline. That's how they get their water. And there is this massive initiative of removal of lead. We are working with quite a few municipalities, the engineering aspect of it, removal of the pipes, but actually identifying which ones are the neighborhoods that have high likelihood of having those lead pipes. This is, I started by saying I get to do a lot of work that has social value. We are doing good things for the society. Think about this project. There were reports from one city where the children in that city had elevated levels of lead in their blood. So this is an incredibly important program for that city, and that city has all the leadership that's needed to solve the problem. The leaders have the right mindset and they want to do it, but they're not necessarily the richest city with a huge tax base. So this predictive modeling and prioritizing neighborhoods, and in many other ways, doing cost-benefit analysis, helping them to make their capital plans, to make the whole thing affordable, was a very satisfying work for my team.
Yeah, it's really the kind of work that a lot of people would love to get into, and it sort of suggests a larger level of collaboration when you're talking about municipalities and how they've done things, and then a consulting firm that's helped a municipality. You can help another municipality and build on that same experience. And
Right.
it's like you want to be able to share the best practices across those municipalities and ac across those regions, ideally. And you want to be able to share common data that helps everybody and raises all boats.
Yep. A lot of the data is actually, in this case, proprietary to the municipality, but there's also a lot of data that available open source. We are doing a lot of work using open source data. And in this industry, I find it that people are much more willing to collaborate because, we are all staring at problems like climate change. These are humongous problems. I think nobody is arrogant enough to think my team or I can solve that problem, right? So the more knowledge sharing happens, and a lot of it is happening, better off we are.
So just thinking about the kinds of things that you and GHD have been working on, how would you consider which areas are further ahead than others? What do we look to as a model to emulate in terms of industries?
So if we think about GHD industries, these are all kind of at the same level, and but wherever the current investment is going, those areas will develop faster. Let me talk about within environment. GHD has a very large presence in an industry called, we call it CAR. It's contamination assessment and remediation. What it is all manufacturing companies in the process of manufacturing end up polluting some part of the environment. It's either in water or in soil. We used to do it a lot more before. Now everybody's conscious, so we do less. But there's a lot of legacy sites that needs cleanups. And those cleanup work is going on. And we have data science capabilities to help there. But our clients are not attracting a whole lot of investment in that area. That could be, I'm just giving an example, a car manufacturing company. Investment is going into self-driving cars, not necessarily cleaning up that piece of land that's contaminated. Whereas if we compare that with ESG, that's top of mind for everybody, right? Most companies have sustainability officers. Most companies have made commitments, including GHD itself, about decarbonization by a certain year. So it's a lot easier to do the work in those situations because there's funding, there's investment, and we have been able to connect it to bigger issues like climate change. So those get ahead. One other industry where I think we are on the verge of doing lot of great things. And as you were talking about collaboration, right? So it's not GHD alone. There is this company, I think it's small enough that I could call them startups. It's in the transportation sector. They have had partnerships with car manufacturers, and they have the right to collect data from cars. All cars now have computers inside, right? And they generate tons and tons of data. So GHD now has a partnership with this company, so we can access that data. And after we do some data science, some analytics on it, that data is incredibly useful for traffic engineers, transportation authorities in different companies. And it comes in handy to reduce the number of accidents. Talk about a good cause, right?
Well, it sort of points out that the smart systems that are finally coming into play here are helping with the data problem in big ways, and so you're just able to position yourselves and take advantage of that and really try to maximize the optimization opportunity, so to speak.
And this area is so huge, right? Artificial intelligence. And till 2 years ago, it was an area for nerds. Since ChatGPT, every dinner conversation includes a conversation about AI. So you have to think about, what's your swim lane? What's my swim lane? I have incredibly brilliant people in my team. Their swim lane is clear. They're going to discover the next, maybe AI technology. What do I do in this space? So I kind of see myself as somebody who did analytics in a data company for 20 years. So that's the connection I understand. And then I'm lucky enough to be in GHD and be able to work on problems that have such huge social implications. So that's my swim lane, identifying the role of data in analytics and AI to solve these kind of big problems.
And so I'm sure mentoring is a part of your the role that you play at GHD, and I'm wondering for those who are readers of Data Science Central and they're just getting their feet wet with all the different technologies that they have to try and harness to solve these problems. What would you say to them to get started and to get opportunities in the areas you're talking about?
Right. So, those who are your audience in Data Central, I'm assuming they're already somewhat technology savvy. That's why they come to Data Central and listen to the podcasts and things like that. So I would say it's broadening their horizon a little bit. That you don't necessarily have to work for the humongous tech companies in order to utilize your skills and your knowledge. You could, and especially the younger generation, they are fairly conscious about these things in terms of doing good for the society. So if you have that aptitude, then look in the other areas. I haven't worked in too many places. I because I stayed in one company for 20 years. And but now when I came to GHD, I saw the applications of this technology. Ages ago, I had worked in a defense lab. There, the technology aspect of it was incredible. Here, the application aspects of it are great. And then you have to have respect for people with the domain knowledge. Like if you are in a GHD type company, then engineers rule and they have to rule. They actually know what goes in what systems. And the last thing probably is being able to communicate with non-data scientists. That would really come in handy.
Yeah. Well, and so much of it depends on understanding the problem and asking the right questions, trying to get to the right questions to ask, and just starting a client on a particular journey so that they're making progress. And so,
Absolutely.
what are you seeing over the next few years? What do you think is really exciting? What gets you up in the morning?
I think it's exciting, and the thing that we didn't talk about in these 30 minutes, it's also scary, So
Yeah.
it's the balance. So I'm incredibly excited and I'm also scared what's going to happen. So
It's like we're building out this virtual landscape, the virtual territory, and it's like the Wild West and the Wild East together, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, and yet there's some danger to that because people who are maybe staking out territory right under your nose, and you don't even know about them. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. Nipa, it's been great to talk with you today. Thanks so much for sharing the insights. I wonder if you have any final thoughts before we close.
Yeah, I think it's the same that, it's unprecedented times. And when I think of these mind-boggling, humongous problems like, climate change, one of the silver linings I see there is also unprecedented capability of using data and data science and AI to try to solve them.
It's like a huge untapped resource, and we're getting more data that we need to really tackle these problems. So hopefully we get the investment. Thanks
Right.
again for taking the time today.
Thank you.